Thank you for our brother Ed. And Father, as he brings forth your word today, may it bring forth light. May it bring forth life. Lord, may it bring forth just direction and vision. And Lord, we pray that your blessing would be upon him, move through him and upon us in our hearts. Lord, challenge us today by this word. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, and we all said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dad.
God is good, amen. Before we get started, you know, my wife has been talking to Carol Lakis like on a daily basis. That woman's calling like 2-3 times a day. I just love her so much. I mean, Donna puts her on speaker and I get to listen to her talk. She cracks me up. But Donna, she had back surgery. She's recovering very nicely. She's about to be released Tuesday. She's so excited to get back in the church. She misses you guys. She misses being an usher. I told her, don't worry, you're still going to be an usher. I can't lose you. But I just wanted to give her a shout-out because she couldn't be here to hear the message today, but Donna promised her we'd buy her a CD. I just wanted to give a shout-out to my sister to say, you're in our prayers. Amen? Okay, so anyways, I'm very excited to be up here today. It's been a rough road, let me tell you. I'm going to share a little story. But I've been praying for weeks. I always tell Pastor John, could you please give me 2 weeks? Because I just like, quit laughing, Bob. I'm not like you that got one spared. I just go by the seat of my pants. But anyways, I like to pray for a week, get into worship a couple days, and then the Lord just anoints me with whatever he wants me to share. So I'm excited to share this word. But like I said, it was a tough road. I'm going to share this little story before I give you the title of what I'm going to speak on. I work at General Motors, okay? I drive a Hilo. I work on the docks. So when the trucks come in with the parts, you know, I got to go in, unload the parts, take them to where they need to go, to the line, and then I bring back the empty containers, refill the truck, do the paperwork, and send the truck off its way. So that's my job. So anyways, I'm on the dock. I'm doing, I was getting ready to take a rack out, and there's this little old lady there. Her name's Maria, and she's Hispanic, and she speaks kind of with broken English because you really know she's a Mexican. But she gets mad at me because she speaks to me and I can't speak Spanish. Hardly a lick. As a matter of fact, my wife knows more Spanish than I do. I have to ask her questions, you know. But anyways, so I seen her on the dock and I pull up behind her and every time I see her, I go, Maria! And she turns around, she goes, Eddie! So I met her on the dock and I pull up next to her, and because I got to go backwards because it's a pretty big container, and I said, how's it going? And she says, well, they're trying to eliminate my job. I go, really? And she goes, yeah. She says, I guess they think what I do isn't important, you know? And I said, oh, well, that's a shame. I says, well, I'll be praying for you that the Lord will let you keep your job, you know? I mean, she's got like over 40 years, right, Ray? Well, anyways, oh, and by the way, she loves Ray, because when Ray was still at my plant, we would meet at the door to go out. We'd have like a couple minutes, and him and her would be going at it. And, you know, there's other people standing in line, and they're like, what the heck are they doing? I mean, they'd be going a mile a minute, and it really gave Maria joy that she could speak in her native tongue, that someone that could understand it, because she would talk to me, and I'd go, ¿qué? What? So, but anyways, getting back to the story. So I'm sitting on my Hilo like this, trying to get a vision of this. She's over here, right? And I'm talking to her like this, because I got to drive like this. And she said, look at him. That's what she said. Now, behind me was a tool crib, you know, where they have all the tools and stuff for the skilled trades. So I turn and I look to see who she was talking about, and it's a guy named Johnny. He works in the crib, right? He actually used to be my union representative, my committee man, a while back. But anyways, I look over at him, and he's sitting in his chair, and he jumps up, and he goes, what? 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 And I'm like, what the? I thought he was kidding around, right? So I just left. I took off and went to deliver my parts. I deliver my parts. I'm coming back. I got to come down that same long aisle, and I see him on his Hilo coming down the aisle. So I'm not paying attention. I'm just driving back. And all of a sudden, he weighs me down like this. So I stop, and he goes, man, what are you looking at? I go, what? He goes, why are you checking me, man? Why are you checking me? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I see you looking at me. What? You and Maria talking about me? I go, look, dude. I said, the only thing she said was, look at him. I said, I didn't even know who she was talking about. I said, I turned around, I saw you, and you went, what, what? And I said, I don't know what you were doing. He goes, no, no, man. He says, don't be checking me, man. I don't check your job. Don't check my job. I said, dude, you just need to relax. And I left. You know, I just took off. Well, again, you know, I'm driving backwards, you know, and I get to the truck. I put the empty container in. I come out, and he's there again. Because, you know, he's right. He works right there in the tool crib. And he goes, man, I'm telling you, man, don't be checking me. I said, dude, I'm telling you right now, you just need to relax. You know, I could feel that hair. We all know, guys, that hair, and women, that hair on the back of the neck starts to stick out. Just like your dogs, when they start barking, you see that hair stick up. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to go here. And I just let it go, all right? And I know to this day, because when I came home and I told my wife about it, she goes, well, what did you expect? You're going to be teaching on strongholds. And I got to admit to you that that's kind of a stronghold in my life that I'm still battling, I'm still working on, I'm still trying to get victory over. I got victory that day because I'm going to be honest with you. I would never lie to you guys. I would have went off on that guy. I mean, first of all, you're accusing me of something I didn't do. And second of all, the one thing I cannot stand in my life is when someone tells you, you got to do this. Brother, I ain't got to do nothing. The only one that's going to tell me that is God, and that's it. Well, maybe my pastor. He's got me a couple times. I had to throw that one in there. My pastor, too. That's about it, man. My wife, we can work it out later. We can work it out later. I'll buy her something if she'll forgive me. But so I know I got victory that day. Why? Because I was in prayer that whole week. And I was even praying that day. You know, because where I got to deliver the headliners, you remember headliners, Bob? It's on CDOC. And you got to go like halfway to the plant to deliver the headliners. Because there's no other place to storm. So you got to make that trip. And that's a long trip. It's like a 3-minute ride going backwards. So, of course, you know, I got a lot. I could still be praying as I'm driving. So, but I just know that I know that I know that the reason I didn't go off on that guy, because I was innocent in that situation, was because of the Holy Spirit. Because I had been praying. And that is what I'm going to talk about today. Tearing down spiritual strongholds. And, you know, as I was reading into this, those are some pretty serious things. You know, and a lot of times, let's be honest, we just take them for granted or we just live with them. Like I said, I've been living with this anger issue. It doesn't pop up a lot, but don't you know that the enemy knows how to make that pop up? Because I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy knows our weaknesses. Don't think he don't. He does. And that's exactly where he's going to attack. Right? I've always said this time and time again, when we have the spiritual armor on and we're ready and we're in the spirit, there ain't no way that enemy's going to come meet you face to face. That's like you going up against a 280-pound fullback. It's not going to happen. I'm going to be like, woo, you know, because I'm going to get blown out, right? Well, the enemy's the same way. But again, time and time again, he's always looking for what? That kink in your armor, that little crack, that little opening. That's where he's going to come in and attack. Because then he can get beyond the barrier, right? So, the word stronghold, I found out, and I was talking to Pastor John this morning, is only mentioned in the New Testament once. I was like, what? I mean, it's mentioned in the Old Testament a lot because it was referring to then as God being our stronghold, amen? Because he is our stronghold. He gives us strength. He gives us everything we need. He wants us to depend on him. Amen? But the stronghold that Paul was talking about is the ones I'm talking about. And so let me read this. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 4, I want you guys to read this with me. Okay, it says, all right, I'll go ahead. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Amen? There it is right there. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We need to use the weapons that God has given us to defeat these strongholds. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. I mean, you may try other things, other techniques, and it might subdue it, but it's going to come back. You know, just like it tried to rear itself up with me at work. But thank God I was in the Spirit, and I really believe it defeated that stronghold at that moment. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It's real, people. It's real. Demons are real. Strongholds are real. They're real. We have them. We're not immune to them. But thank God we have a God that's just. Amen? God gives us everything we need to defeat the enemy. I didn't write this scripture down, but there's that one scripture in there, I think it's in Hebrews, where he talks about no temptation will be too great to overcome you. And in the end, he says, and I will always leave you a way out. So God's not going to leave us stranded on an island. You know, if we find ourselves on an island, get in the Spirit, and I'm sure there'll be a raft to get you off the island. God is not going to leave us there. That's not his purpose. You know, I truly believe, and I know pastors have mentioned it more than once, that if Jesus was going to that cross and he knew he was just going to save one soul, I know in my heart that he would have did it for that one person. So God's not going to leave us stranded. He'll never give us more than what we can bear. That doesn't mean that we're not going to struggle, right? When we go to war, when we go to play football or something like that, we're in a battle, right? I mean, I just saw my grandson play yesterday. He played Western. Hey, Luce. It was a great game. We were losing 4-0. They came back and took the lead 5-4, and then somebody on Western got a home run to tie it, and then we go into the top of the seventh. Another guy from Western got a home run, and they took the lead 6-5. And it didn't look good. It was looking pretty grim. They brought in their ace reliever. I'm like, oh, man, this ain't looking good. We wound up winning the game. We won 7-6. And I'm not bragging on that situation, but I look at that like in the spiritual. You know, it may seem we're down and out, but never give up on the Lord, because he's never going to give up on us, ever. Yeah, we may stumble, we may fall, but he's going to be there to pick us up. Amen? I think about that when our kids were little, you know, and they're trying to walk, you know, and they're like, and you're going... You know? And sometimes they fall. We can't get turn time and they fall. They start crying. And what do? We pick them up. We love on them. We brush off their boo-boo or whatever. And then off they go again. Well, I believe that's how the Lord handles us. You know? He's going to be there to nurture us, to give us that confidence to go out again. And we're going to keep doing it until we get it right. Amen? Also, well, you guys, I'm pretty sure everybody knows about I wasn't going to read it about the spiritual armor. It's in Ephesians 6:10-17. If you read that, it'll show you all our spiritual armor, you know. But I told Donna, as being a non-forceful weapon, I think the helmet of salvation is so important. Last week when Pastor John was talking about the battles, where? In the mind. That's Satan's playground. He gets into your mind. He starts putting these stupid thoughts in there. And sometimes they're like half-truths. But where you start doubting yourself, like, oh, is it like that? You know? And I told Donna, you know, this has been going on for years, right? And I didn't put it in my teaching, but if you go all the way back to Genesis, right, it happened then. When the serpent told Eve, did God say you would really die? Well, doggone it, that's exactly what he said. You know, but it got her to think, well, maybe he didn't mean that. And that's the way the enemy works. He'll just sow that little seed of, well, maybe. You know what I mean? Then what happens? As humans, we start getting logical with ourselves. Well, maybe that isn't right, you know? It's just the way the enemy plays. He plays up here. But that's why I think that helmet of salvation is so important, because even though we may fail, we think, well, I know I'm not unworthy. Why? Because Christ died for me. I am saved. He died for me. If I feel that I'm not worthy to receive God's redemption, God's love, then what did Christ die for? It would be like an abomination to the crucifixion. Because that's the very reason he died. Is so that, because he knew we were going to fail. There ain't nobody in here perfect. I know I'm far from perfect. But I know I got a God, a daddy, that will forgive me, that will nurture me, that will bring men in my life that will help me to make my path right. Amen? And he'll do it for each and every one of us here. He loves us all the same. All the same. So what are spiritual strongholds? Well, Paul interprets it in 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought, to make it obedient to Christ. The arguments are the philosophies, the reasonings, and the schemes of the world to throw us off. The pretensions have to do with anything proud. Oh, we don't have a pride issue, do we? I can think of some of the men now on that golf course. Oh, yeah. That went about 300 yards. Bring on Tiger Woods. I'm ready. Right? And then the next shot, you hit a worm burner about 10 yards. But no, a proud, man-centered, or self-confidence. You know, I shared that story a long time ago when I was working in Flint, and that guy, that kind of reminded me of Pastor Don, only because of the fact, like, the guy read like 10,000 books. He was like this, how do you say it, Ray? Pluffer of information. But he got jacked up somewhere. Because he mixed that with religion. I mean, he told me that, you remember the bright star when Jesus was born? I go, oh, yeah. He goes, that wasn't no star. I go, what? He goes, no, it was a spaceship. I'm like, what? What? Oh, yeah. It was somebody, Alpha Centauri. I'm like, wasn't it on Lost in Space? Weren't they trying to get back to Alpha Centauri and Lost in Space? I'm like... And it's actually a shame that this guy could really help the world out with all that knowledge, and he just got tore up. I mean, he embarrassed me because I worked with him. Like, he was right across the line from me. We were putting in wire harnesses at the time. And I'm sitting there eating lunch with these other guys, and he walks up out of the blue. He goes, you know, they're mining on the moon. I'm trying to act like he's not looking at me. He's looking right at me. He goes, yeah, they're mining on the moon. And those other guys, now I'm going to tell you right now, they're in the world. Now, if you can get a vision of what factory workers are in the world, it's not pretty. And I can't even repeat what they said. But I was embarrassed because he kind of put me in with that. And I had to tell the guys, I said, look, man, he's not my buddy. I'm going to tell you right now, we're just acquaintances. We work across from each other. I'm trying to save face for myself. But that story ends like this. So I'm in the restroom. I just finished going to the restroom. I'm sitting there washing my hands, and he comes up to me. Now, I shared my faith with him, right? And he comes up to me, and he just goes, so what are you going to do if after all this is over, there is no God? Then what? And I'll tell you, I was nervous because he caught me off guard. I was a new Christian then, and I'm like, oh, like Fred that time when he got challenged. I'm like, oh, Lord, help me out. Help me out. What do I say to this guy? Because I'm a little nervous because he's so smart, you know, like Pastor Don, you know, he's real smart. And I says, well, if there's no God, I said, what do I lose? He looked at me. I go, what do I really lose? So I didn't get drunk. I didn't get high. I didn't cheat on my wife. So what? So what? I lived a good life. I said, but let me ask you something. What are you going to do if there is a God? I says, and I know there's a God. Then what are you going to do? And for the first time, probably in that guy's entire life, he had nothing to say. He just walked away, and I never seen him again. But shortly after that, I transferred to Hamtramck. So, I don't know. You know, we just have to be careful because those strongholds can be nasty. Nasty. And sometimes because they're beating on us, and they're beating on us, and they're beating on us, as humans, we get tired, don't we? I mean, you get tired if someone's nagging, 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 nagging. Eventually, you're going to snap, man. You know? But church, our power comes from God alone. That's where we get our strength from. God alone. No book besides the Bible, no book like that is going to give us what we need. Only God can set us free. Amen? And the weapons that he gives us, the spiritual armor, is so important that we put that on every day. I still, to this day, I pray that on every day. Because I just know that the enemy's out there waiting to make you look bad. Because let me tell you something, and I know a lot of men here can probably testify to this. Let me tell you, once you put it out there, when you put it out there that you're a Christian, what happens? All the microscopes come out. Boy, you got an audience and you don't even realize it. But they're all watching you. They just want to bring you down so bad. You know, I don't know what it is, but probably because they're filled with the enemy. That's the only thing I can think of, but they're just waiting to tear you down. So you got to be so careful. So careful. Because you're an ambassador for Christ. You know what I mean? I might not talk to Pastor John working in that factory for years. But that doesn't mean I'm not ministering to him by my actions. Sometimes just our actions are enough. That's how Frank Nuno wound up coming to the church. I never spoke to him. I was working on somebody else. Giving him scripture, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't come, but Frank did. And all the while because he was just watching me. See, you just never know. You got to be prepared. Give an account. It doesn't have to be words. It can be your actions. I want to share this story real quick about this young youth we had years ago. I don't want to throw our age out there, honey. But about 20 years ago.
20.
But this young man was going, at the time, I think he was going to the junior high. He was a wrestler. Nice kid. Well, one time, he was a part of the youth group and that, and then all of a sudden, he started having these anger issues, like physical, you know. So we get a call. I hope I get the story right. We get a call by his mother to come over. He's going crazy, you know. Now, I know this is an old movie, so I'm gonna ask for a show of hands. But how many people saw The Exorcist? Not bad, not bad. I'm going to tell you what. That movie jacked me up. I mean, it jacked me up. That movie came out in 1973. I was 12 years old. I'm telling you, that movie jacked me up. Linda Blair sitting there, head spinning around, projectile vomit. Woo, I was scared. That movie jacked me up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It was Pastor John and Carol, Bob, myself, and my wife. When we walked into that house, brother, it was The Exorcist all over again, only it was real. It was real. It wasn't an actor. It was a real person. And I think Carol and Donna and the mother were downstairs, and me and Bob and Pastor John went upstairs into that bedroom. Oh. You know how I tell you sometimes I can come into church and the Holy Spirit's so thick you can cut it with a knife? Well, let me tell you, that demonic force was so thick you could cut it with a knife. It was just bone chilling. And we, all three of us, I'm not going to go into all the details, but we attacked this guy. You had to, because he was violent. I mean, he was physical. And Pastor John, my hero, he was that pillar. He was that pillar that would not fall. I mean, it got to the point where Bob and I had him on his bed. Now, Bob, I'm going to be honest now. We were a little heavier back then. And this guy was only about 5'5". So you got me and Bob laying on this guy. Right? I mean, the only thing you could see was his eyes and his feet. We're laying on this guy. This guy was convulsing, the saliva coming out of his mouth and all that. And he was lifting me and Bob up, lifting us up. Now look, I understand he's a wrestler, but doggone it, you probably had 600 pounds, man. 600 pounds laying on a guy. Come on, ain't no wrestler can lift 600 pounds. Sorry, Bob. But Bob and I and Pastor John's constantly. I mean, Pastor John was like a recording. He would not stop praying words of praying, water. And he finally calmed down, right? So he gets up, me and Bob kind of watching him. And then all of a sudden, he just jetted right after Pastor John. Grabbed Pastor John, put him up against the wall. He had his hand on his, he was squeezing. Me and Bob are like pulling this guy. And all the while, Pastor's going, in Jesus' name. That pillar would not stop. He was just bam, bam. It was something to see, I'm going to tell you, from that moment on, I really believed in demons, because let me tell you, they're there. But we have authority over them. Amen? We got authority over that. That man right there didn't switch an eel, man. He just bam, bam, bam. Well, that day he got delivered. Come to find out later, Don and Carol found out that the mom and the grandma were into witchcraft. And they used to have their rituals right in his bedroom. The poor kid didn't stand a chance. He's laying down with demons. You know what I mean? And if he's not strong in the word, he's not strong with the armor, he's going to be overtaken. So that's just one experience of demonic strongholds. The anger, the demonic strongholds. Now this one I got to share. Where am I at? Okay. I got to share this one. This was funny. So this story deals with Ray Maldonado and myself. He had bought a new laptop, right? And he tried to download something. It wound up screwing up. He put it back to factory settings. It wouldn't do anything. Computer wizard over there. So we wound up taking it back to Best Buy. They said they would replace it, right? Because they couldn't get it fixed. So we're sitting there, and I'm waiting. They're looking up Ray's computer, and I'm sitting there waiting. And all of a sudden, I'm like, Ray, I'll be right back. Where do you think I went? Best Buy. Where would I go? Thank you, brother. Right to the TVs. It's a stronghold within me. I got to have the big TV. I got a 73-inch at home. And one day, Bob messed me up. He said, yeah, I think I'm going to buy a new 74-inch. I go, what? A 74? He goes, yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh. I told Donna, we need a new TV. What? There's nothing wrong with that one. Oh, yeah, it's too small, man. My eyes, man. Bob's getting a 74. He can't beat me. There's no way he can beat me. Brother, you almost made me go out and buy a 90-inch. I'd have been in debt still. But there I was over there and talking. You know how you get a guy, they come up to you, and I'm just stringing this guy along, or was he stringing me along? Anyways, we're looking at all these TVs. Ray gets done. He's looking for me. He's like, where did he go? He goes, oh, probably in the TVs. He goes over there. Sure enough, I'm in the theater room. They got a theater room in this Best Buy. I'm sitting in that big chair, little fan blowing on me. The lights are dim. I think it's about 120-inch, Rick. I'm just like, do we got that video, Ella? Go ahead and show this video. This was me when I was sitting there staring at that TV. That's all that guy's life was, that ring, right? All through those three movies, right? He's looking for the ring. Well, that was me with that TV. I'm sitting there looking at that thing. My precious. So I talk Ray, and Ray wants to leave, right? We'd already been here like an hour. I go, brother, you got to come here. You got to come sit down. Just sit down. So
So Ray sits there, and all of a sudden, you know, when the guys are moving, you seen like a little shadow. So I call the guy, I go, hey, man, how come this is like a little delay there? And he goes, oh, let me put it in movie mode. Oh, now I'm like, oh, Ray's getting disgusted. He's like, man, can we leave? I said, dude, we got to. He goes, what are you, where's the popcorn at? We're going to sit here, we might as well have some popcorn, right? But thank God I didn't buy it, you know, because I told the guy, I got to check with my wife. Let me check with my wife. This is a big purchase. He goes, well, that's all I need is your information. Just leave me your card information and that, and we'll even deliver it to your house. Oh, Ray's giving me the look like, So, thank God for that scripture, James 4:7, which says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So thank God, Ray, I thank you, brother, that he kind of talked me out of it. He said, bro, I wouldn't do it, man. I wouldn't do it. Better talk to Donna. She's like my God, you know. No. So, but anyways, that was an issue in my life, you know, that lust for the, you know, the technical stuff. You know, we have that. You know, we have those things in our lives, don't we? These stories I share with you are just a few of the multiple strongholds that are out there. But with our spiritual armor, God's truth, and our brothers and sisters in arms to help assist one another, we can be victorious for Christ. Amen? There is no stronghold that should control us. You know, it only controls us, what? If we allow it. If we allow it. I mean, sometimes we've had these things for so long, we just learn to live with them, right? We just learn to live with them. But that's not what God wants us. He doesn't want us being held down by anything. Amen? He wants all of us. Not 90%, not 95%. He wants all of us. And I feel that the only way we can be effective in the spiritual is to be able to be 100% set free. Amen? That way we can receive all God has for us. So in closing, I just wanted to share this story I found online, talking about Christians in general fighting the enemy and his strongholds. The author paints this picture. So I want you to just clear your minds right now, because this is I really thought this story was the bomb. So try and imagine this. Here's the picture. The Christian, wearing his spiritual armor and bearing his spiritual weapons, sets out to conquer the world for Christ. Amen? But he soon finds obstacles. The enemy has erected strongly fortified garrisons to resist the truth and thwart God's plan of redemption. There is the fortress of human reasoning, reinforced with many subtle arguments and the pretense of logic. There is the castle of passion, with flaming battlements defended by lust, pleasure, and greed. And there is the pinnacle of pride, in which the human heart sits enthroned and revels in thoughts of its own excellence and sufficiency. The enemy firmly entrenched on the battleground. These strongholds have been guarded for thousands of years, presenting a great wall of resistance to the truth. None of these deters the Christian warrior, however. Using the weapons of God's choosing, he attacks the strongholds, and by the miraculous power of Christ, the walls are breached, and the bastions of sin and error are battered down. The victorious Christian enters the ruins and leads captive, as it were, every false theory and every human philosophy that had once proudly asserted its independence from God. Sharing the gospel is not the only time we see resistance. We can also face demonic strongholds in our own lives, in our families, and even in our churches. Anyone who has fought an addiction, struggled with pride,
had to flee youthful lust, knows that sin, a lack of faith, and a worldly outlook on life are indeed strongholds. The Lord is building His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What we need are Christian soldiers totally surrendered to the will of the Lord of hosts, who will use the spiritual weapons that He provides. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the Lord of the God, the Lord of our God. Amen. Church, let us rise up to the challenge and face the enemy. God will fight for us and with us. We are not alone. Together, we can all become all that we can be for the Lord and what He's called us to do. And that is being victorious for Him and His kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I have the prayer team come up, please? I'm going to encourage you right now, if it's just the minutest thing, please come up for prayer. The Lord wants you, all of you. We owe Him that. He died for us. Did He not give His all for us? Shouldn't we respect Him and give Him all that we are? Hallelujah. Let's close. Well, hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I thank You for this word, Lord God. And Father, I thank You for the gift of Your Son, Lord, for that redemption, Lord. And Father, I also thank You for Your spiritual weapons, Lord God, Your wisdom, Your grace, Your mercy, Father God. And Father, to know that You go before us, Lord God. Your word says, I'll never give You more than You can bear. Your word says, I'll never leave You or forsake You. Father God, we thank You for those promises, Lord God. And right now, Lord, I just pray a special anointing upon Your church here, Lord God, that, Father, they would find victory in all strongholds, Lord God, that they would be able to just submit to You 100% of their very being, Lord God, and that You would bless them, protect them, and nourish them, Father God, like You've nourished all of us, Lord God. And we just thank You for who You are and for Your many blessings. And they all said, Amen.
Greater than the dark, with You, we are victorious.